chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter number 2. Continuing in what we started several weeks ago, looking at God's prerequisites for acquiring wisdom. We saw in Proverbs 2 and verse number 1, we saw the first prerequisite to acquiring the wisdom of God was, number 1, to receive God's word. And then last week we began looking at verses 2 and 3, and we made note of this. The second thing we need to do after we receive God's word is to respond to God's word. And we posed this question, if we are to respond to God's word, how are we to respond to God's word? If he tells us we're supposed to respond to it, there has to be some way, according to the Bible, that we are going to respond to it. And we see, first of all, in verse number 2, that we need to have open ears. And the Bible says, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom. And so as we worked through that, we came to understand that it is important for us to have open ears. It's important for us to understand that the scriptures were given by the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Then we stopped here where we're going to be at today for the next couple of minutes. We're going to look at the last part of verse number 2. As we find wisdom, not only do we need to have open ears, but then notice we need to have open hearts. And let's pray. Father, we come before you today. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, as we look at these prerequisites, Father, to receiving your great wisdom. Father, we saw last week that we had to have open ears, and I pray that these last 2 weeks, Father, we had open ears. Father, we heard testimony of people that did have open ears during revival, and they heard, Father, and the Holy Spirit spoke into their heart, and their lives were changed. But Father, help us to see something else that probably most people already know, Father, but we need to be reminded of, is that we need to have an open heart. So Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Notice in verse number 2, the last part of that verse, it says, apply thine heart to understanding. In this context, that word heart literally is speaking about our will. We could say this, we are to bend our will towards obeying God's wisdom found in his word. So we're to bend our will towards God's will, obeying his wisdom for us. And literally, we should think of it this way. We should be willing to do whatever God asks us to do. And I trust that many of you did that during the revival. God has spoken to your hearts, and you gave testimony how you tightened things up in your life. God spoke, you obeyed, and you bent your will towards God's wisdom in order that God might use you in a great and mighty way. I think that Jesus taught that if we had an open heart, and if we have a submissive will, those two things are really necessary for you and I to understand his word. You don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but in John chapter 7 and verse 17, the Lord says this, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So we understand this, that God's wisdom is for our heart and just not for our head. And if we allow God's wisdom to penetrate our lives, if we allow God's wisdom to mold us and change us from within, we find this, that we will become a wise man, as we saw in Proverbs chapter number 1. God's wisdom is found by us yielding ourselves to the will of God. And that's what many of you did. You yielded yourself to God here at the altar and there at your pew. You yielded yourself to God that you might understand his word and do the work that God has called you to do. Well, to find wisdom, we need to have open ears. Verse 2 says we need to have an open heart. But then notice something else in verse number 3. If we are going to find wisdom, we're going to have to get this now. Cry out for wisdom. Cry out for wisdom. You see, wisdom does not come by osmosis. You don't put the Bible on top of your head and you receive all the wisdom of God. I wish it was that way, but that's not the way it happens. Notice verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So think of it this way. Any child or any adult who seeks to be wise is going to have to call out to God. Not only going to have to, we could say this, needs to call out to God. And this idea here in this text of Christ out really means to cry with a loud, insistent plea for help. So we're to plead with God. just as we would if we were pleading to someone for deliverance from trouble that we got ourselves into. Oh, you're pleading for your son or your daughter to live right and do right and act like a Christian. That's the way we ought to plead with persistence before God Almighty. Understanding this, that we do that because God's wisdom is found through prayer. Turn to James chapter 1 and verse number 5. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. Who would like to read that for the pastor tonight? James chapter 1 and verse 5. Familiar passage of scripture. But sometimes it just does us good to put our eyeballs on it. Debbie, do you want to read it? James 1 and verse 5. All right, there's some great truths in here. We're not going to make this verse mean any more than it really says, but it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Quite simply, how do we ask God? We cry out to God, insistent in our prayers. And then it says that God giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. That word upbraideth literally means this. It means God doesn't reproach those who make an appeal to him. So simply, this verse is saying, listen, if you need wisdom, and some of you had needed wisdom, and I think of the testimony today. If you needed wisdom, sister, you cried out to God, you held your tongue, God gave you the wisdom, you spoke to your parents, 2 days later the problem was solved. I think that is wonderful. That word literally means God doesn't reproach those that appeal to him. Never be afraid to approach God. Never be afraid to ask God, not only for wisdom, but for other things as well. The truth is simply this, that many believers don't receive wisdom from God. You know why they don't? Because they don't ask for it. Amen? And really, you're kind of just making yourself a dummy by not asking God for wisdom, because I don't have all the wisdom I need to have, but God has all the wisdom, amen? And so we understand this. If I need wisdom, I need to go to him for that. Let me show you a great example of that, and our time is running out, but I want to try to finish this. Turn to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter number 3. We'll see a great example in 1 Kings chapter 3. He would read verses 7 and 9. Here we find King Solomon doing something, and as you read this text, you'll figure out what it is. Let's begin reading in verse number 6. Who would read verses 6 and 7, and someone would read verses 8 and 9? Who would read verses 6 and 7? Anybody tonight? All right, who would read verses 8 and 9? All right, Diana, thank you. All right, go ahead and read. Thank you. All right, so here in verse number 9, he basically says this. He said, God, he said, I'm just a humble servant. He said, I can barely go in, I can barely go out, he said, and I need to be able to discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy great people? So he simply asked God for this. He said, God, he said, I want you to give me wisdom. I need the wisdom of your mind to be able to judge the people. So he asked for wisdom, and notice in verse number 16 through verse number 28. Notice what happens when Solomon asked for wisdom. Who would read verses 16 and 17? Who would read that quickly? Henry. Who would read 18 and 19? Who would read that quickly? 18 and 19. All right, who would read 20 and 21? Pastor James, who would read 22 and 23? 22 and 23. There's no big words, I promise you. 22 and 23. All right, thank you. And then who would read 24 and 25? 24 and 20. Debbie, who would read all the way down 26 through 28? 26 through 28. All right, Dan, thank you. All right, let's go ahead and read. Let's find out this story. You already have heard this story before, but let's hear it again for our own edification. All right. Verse 28 says it all. For they saw that the, what, wisdom of who? God was with him to do judgment. You see, we have not because we ask not. What a great example King Solomon was for you and I. I hope we never have to get to the point where we're deciding whether we have to divide a baby into or not. It might not be as bad as that, but there are times in our life when we have to make a serious decision on what we're going to do. And oftentimes this is that we try to make that in our own mind. By our own flesh, you know, we try to have our list, the good side and the bad side, and we try to weigh it out. But listen, God doesn't work that way. And our good way might be God's bad way. Our bad way might be God's good way. And so we have to seek the divine intervention, asking him for great wisdom. Some believers don't ask God for wisdom because they have lust and sin in their lives. I'm thinking of James chapter 4 and verse number 2. The Bible says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, now get this, because ye ask not. Other believers don't believe that they can really ask God for help. And they think, well, God's done with me, you know. I can't go to him and ask him for help. Or they think this, that God doesn't really care about me. I'm just a little low-life person down here on this earth. God doesn't care. God's not going to meet my need. Or even they don't recognize the reason they feel that way, because they don't recognize they have a desperate need for God's wisdom in their life. That's why it's so important that we hide God's word in our heart. That's why it's so important that we ask God for this great wisdom. If you think about this, prayerless believers are foolish believers. Prayerless believers are foolish believers. I think, man, during the revival, what really moved me was the preacher's testimony. I don't know if you caught it or not. He was very, very transparent in one of his testimonies, his illustrations. He said that God broke his heart, that he was a prayerless and a powerless pastor. And God broke his heart. And after God broke his heart and he saw himself as God saw himself, guess what? He no longer was a foolish believer. God began to work in a great and mighty way. Prayerless believers are foolish believers. They walk through life unwisely. They don't trust in God's wisdom. They don't trust in God's word. And as a result of that, guess what they do? And we do as well. We err in our judgments. And guess what? We err in the judgments and we make bad decisions in our life. And because we err in judgment, because we make bad decisions, we suffer the painful consequences of those bad judgments on our life. And we think about how sad this really is. You say, well, why is this sad, Pastor Carroll? It's sad because God will always help us if we just ask him for that help. He'll be there with us. Well, let me just finish very quickly. The third prerequisite in pursuit of godly wisdom is to receive God's word. Number two is respond to God's word. Then notice in Proverbs 2 and verse number 4, and then we'll be done. I know our time is already gone. But the Bible says that we need to resolve in God's word. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You see, mining for silver and finding hidden treasures both call for a very determined resolve on the person that's hunting for treasures or mining for treasures, or those hunting for treasures in the Word of God. Guess what? You have to be earnest to be able to do that. You have to be diligent as you search for that. You can't just go around half-hearted when you're trying to search for gold or search for silver or search for those gold nuggets in the Word of God. You have to search for wisdom just as someone would search for precious metal or for a hidden treasure. I'm reminded of what Job said in Job 28 and verse number 1. Surely there is a vein for silver and a place for gold where they find it. You see, both of the processes of finding gold or silver, mining it out, or searching for the great wisdom that's found in God's word involves a word that not too many Christians are really familiar with. And it's a spiritual word, and it's called work, amen? That's what it takes to get God's wisdom. Again, I'm going to repeat it. It doesn't come by osmosis. It comes by hard work, by mining it out. And there's two words here that show us the different tasks that we need to accomplish to find wisdom. Notice that first, the first word in Proverbs 2 in verse number 4, let me turn back there and read it again. It says in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver. That first word, seek, emphasizes the earnest required to find wisdom. Or we could say this, it's the sincere desire of our heart for wisdom. I found this out, that if I don't have a sincere desire for something, I'm not going to have much earnest in doing that job. If Dana says, you know, take the trash out, you know, I'll take the trash out, but really, I don't have much sincere desire to take the trash out, and so my earnestness in doing that job may or may not be my 100%. Then we have the word seek, then the word search, and that emphasizes the diligence required to gain wisdom, and this diligence to stay with the task is the fruit of our earnest desire. Listen, if you don't have earnest desire, you're not going to be diligent. And so if deep desire inside your heart isn't there to mine out the wisdom from God's word, guess what? You'll soon find, you'll give up right before you find it. It's kind of like, you know, if you're looking for something, finally after searching for an hour or two, you finally just give up. And you never know, you might be right there on the precipice of it. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Last fall, I was doing some work on my shed, and I was putting up an L bracket that we used to fix an L bracket that we used to put a hanging basket on. And it was kind of, the wood was rotted, it was kind of falling off. So I got some bigger screws to go right into the 4x4 inside my shed. And so I put the ladder up there. I got the screws in my hand. I had my drill ready. I get up to the ladder, walk up the ladder. I went to put the screw in there, and guess what? I lost the screwdriver tip that I was going to use. And I said, oh, great, just the way, that's why I don't do projects, because something always happens. That, and it's the truth. And so I got down off the ladder. I did what everybody does, put my hands in my pocket, and just stood there and looked around. Looked left and right, forward and behind. after a few minutes, I said, man, all right, so I have to get down on my knees now, really serious, digging through the grass, pushing leaves away, trying to find it. But guess what? I didn't have much desire to find that tip. There wasn't much earnestness in me finding that tip. You know why? Because I had a whole case of number two tips in my shed, amen. I looked for a couple 30 seconds, a couple 2 minutes, and then I said, I'm onto my stash of tips, and I put it in. But that's not the way we ought to be. We ought to have this earnest desire to dig into God's Word. There's a big difference between reading the Scriptures and searching the Scriptures. Oftentimes in our morning devotions, guess what? We read the Scriptures. Maybe we ought to try to search out the Scriptures. Let me close with this. Charles Bridges, in his commentary, wrote this: to read instead of searching the Scriptures is only to skim the surface and gather up a few superficial notions. The rule of success is dig up and down the field, and if the search is discouraging, dig again. The patient, systematic effort required by reading and rereading will uncover the buried treasures in God's Word. What miner would be content with just the first ore? Would he not search deeper and deeper until he found it all, not satisfied with taking away much, but determined to leave nothing? Well, as we close tonight, we need to think about these three prerequisites for acquiring wisdom. Number one, to receive God's Word. Number two, to respond to God's Word. And then thirdly, having resolve to stay in God's Word. And it's this pastor's prayer. I pray for you that you'll apply these truths to your life and that you'll be able to obtain this wisdom of life given to us by God Himself. So we'll stop here for this evening, and we'll pick up again next week and beginning of verse number 5 as we look at the second thought, and that is the promises that come from those earnest believers, amen. So I just love God and His Word. He asks us to do something. Then in verse 5, He gives us a promise if we do it, amen. He doesn't have to do that. He could just say, do it because I'm God. We'd say, yes, sir. But He said, if you'll do it, there's a promise in verse 5. We'll pick up there. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, You've been so good to us tonight, Father. Thank You for those wonderful, moving testimonies of Your people, Father, how they have